You guys all ready?
Yes.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Grand Junction Regional Airport Authority, a board meeting of March 21st. I'm Tom Benton. It's my honor to lead the board meeting today. I had to kick it off and appreciate everybody's attendance. We'll do a roll call in just a minute, but we'll start off with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, appreciate the staff coordinating our agenda today. Guys did a good job in putting things together. Let's go ahead and take a look at the agenda. And if there's any modification, staff, do we need to modify anything? Everybody okay with how it came out?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Commissioners, as you know, there is a consent agenda today. It includes our airport goals, our truck tire purchase, and previous minutes. Would anybody like those to be heard, or are we okay with where they are?
I'm okay with them.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as presented then.
So moved.
Been moved and seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. For the record, we do have commissioners present, and we'll just go ahead and do a quick roll call. Sorry, I'm out of order there. Commissioner Marshall?
Here.
Commissioner Reitz?
Here.
Commissioner Tuffley?
Yep.
Commissioner Velarde?
Here.
And Chair Tom Benton's here as well. Commissioner Schrader is up in Vancouver Island, showing a couple of universities to family members. They may go to
break.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, and we'll do a quick staff roll call also.
Yeah, I can do that. So in the room, we have Director of Operations, Dylan Heberlein, Director of Facilities, Ben Peck, Director of Finance, Travis Boyd, myself, Board Clerk, Cameron Reese, and also in the room, we have Human Resource Manager, Victoria Hightower.
Very good. And we also have some guests here today. I appreciate that. And online, Harrison Earle, thank you for your attendance today. Again, Reimer's on our line as well. Colin's with us today. Thank you, Colin, Brad, and Jeremy, and
Allison.
There we go. Allison's with Garber also. We have a couple other guys back there. I think our tech guys.
Seth's not bad.
Thank you. And yes, sir, your name, sir?
Nathan, I'm with the Signal.
Okay, very good. Nice to have you here, Nathan. So appreciate your attendance. All right, Commissioner comments. Anything for good of the order? Everybody knows Angela has expanded her family by one more. Is it Alexander? Is that
yes.
Right? Who won the pool here? We had.
Do we have a pool going?
We had a staff pool. I think we had a couple people.
We had about three or four way tie.
Yeah,
okay. So. Date or weight or what was the pool?
All the above. Yeah, date, weight, and length. So nice job. Everybody's pretty insightful as a team. They know what's going to happen. Would like to recognize Victoria Hightower for 10 years of service. Victoria, thank you for all you've done. Through her education here working at the airport, she was quickly seized on by other private employers. So she'll be moving on at the end of the month. So great. Congratulations to you. And thank you for your service.
Thank you.
All right, let's give her a quick round of applause. All right. Further commissioner comments? Go into citizen comments. Anybody register today?
Mr. Okay. Chairman, we have not received any citizen comments for this meeting.
Thank you, Cameron. All right, let's move in for the approval of the consent agenda. As mentioned before, there are three items on the consent agenda today, which includes the minutes from February 2021, airport goals as prepared from our last meeting, and our ARF truck has worn out its tires. Probably more checked out, right? They're kind of wearing out by date and time, too.
They still have a useful tread, but they're at the end of their life.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for getting that on the consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as prepared and drafted.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. Thank you. All right. We'll move into the action items. Last month, we did have discussion regarding the change in compensation for our executive director, Angela Padalecki. The amendment is included in your board packet, has been reviewed. She's appreciative of the board's support along the way. A number of things that the board considered when we did this amendment to her salary was the current changes in Mesa County, adjustments for pay, as well as on national level. So the recommendation as prepared by Dan is with us today. And Dan, do you want to just recap what that change is for us?
Sure. So in years past, in the changes to the employment contract, we have addressed other items about leave and things like that. But this year, it's a cleaner amendment to the employment agreement to simply change the base pay and to provide for a bonus as you have in years past. So you'll see in the recitals of the change in the amendment that we have tried to keep a record of what those changes have been. So this year it is a 5% increase in salary to $185,716, along with a one-time 3% performance bonus of $5,306. So base salary goes up to $185,716.44, and that is the sum and substance of the amendment that's in front of you today, with no other changes to the employment contract.
Great, thank you, Dan, for preparing that today. I know we had quite a bit of discussion during executive session. Commissioners, your thoughts on today's amendment? If there's anything else we'd like to add.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would just like to repeat a lot of what we agreed upon, you know, during our time together. And that was that Angela is an exemplary leader, and she develops and empowers leaders on her team. And you can see that every day. I mean, we had pilot shortages this year impacting our airline offerings. We had staff changes and record inflation, and yet we continue to be positioned opportunistically to take advantage of grants. Our $150 million runway is on track, and it's incredibly exciting. And this airport is a source of pride locally, and much a part to her leadership. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Angela. Nice. Thank you, Lindy. Nice summary of Angela's previous year of activities. So thank you. Anything else?
I thought it reflected our discussion very well. So I'm a little support.
Thank you. All right. That said, entertain a motion for the approval of item A on our action agenda, Executive Director Employment Contract Amendment.
I move to approve item A, the Executive Director Employment Contract Amendment.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Moving right along, next item on the agenda is Meet Hunt Task Order Number 10 for Fiscal 2023 Pavement Design. Colin, you going to take that one for us?
You bet. So this first slide shows both of these together. I learned my lesson last time, and I think if you looked at the meeting minutes, it's quite messy. So I want to talk about it as one item and then break it into two action items. Yeah, Cameron scolded me pretty hard for that.
I think we all track.
Yeah, really does.
So we've talked a lot about this runway program. I hope this doesn't sound new, but you can really think about the scope of work here in three portions. There's an earthwork and site prep portion that's underway. There's an upcoming pavement design portion, which is going to be about 3 years to 4 years of construction. And then there's a conversion of the existing runway to the future taxiway, terminal taxiway. So we're underway, like I said, with the earthwork. But the next big item up that we need to plan for is the pavement design. So a lesson we learned from doing the earthwork is a lot of times we would come to you all kind of last minute and ask for a big design grant. We wanted to get away from that, and we felt the best way to do that was to be planful, plan out a higher level detail of all the pavement and drainage in the area, and basically build a roadmap. And so we can't control how much money is going to come at a time, but we wanted to be ready for it. And so this scope, the goal of the scope is to identify where all the taxiway connectors go, where drainage areas break down eventually, really dial that in so that we can grab bites of scope as money comes in. So this first scope
is to set that roadmap, and then it's for the first design package that we're going to target for early next year in 2024. So there's two action items. The first is Mead and Hunt scope to perform their design, and the second is Garber scope for program management. So that's it in a nutshell. That's an overall summary. These numbers shown fit within a grant that the FAA, we've already submitted a grant application. They expect to give us, we confirmed last week, they expect a grant in 2023 to fund this. This would be pre-funded by the airport, though, you guys capture that grant. So that's it at a high level. Any questions on that before we go into each item?
It wasn't clear to me in the packet if there was a competitive process for this, or how do we pick M&H design?
Perfect. So every 5 years, the FAA goes through a selection process where it's qualifications based. So to be eligible for AIP, FAA, AIP money, it's not price based, it's qualifications based. Mm-hmm. And so that process has been performed. They were actually reselected in, December, January timeframe of this year, based on qualifications. So that's how the overall selection takes place. Now the pricing itself, mm-hmm. that's done with an independent fee estimate is what it's called. There's an FAA process to follow. The FAA realizes that airport authorities and communities don't negotiate this every day. It's a little bit of a different scope of work. So their process is that if they give a draft scope and fee, and the airport board hires a third party firm to price it, and then those prices are compared to make sure that it is in line with each other within a certain tolerance. And we went through that process with both Mead and Hunt scope and Garber scope. I handled the Mead and Hunt portion. I did not handle the Garber portion. The airport handled that. So to keep it all third party.
So is Mead and Hunt the sole proprietor for all the FAA projects this year, or is it there's a list of ones you can choose from?
That's a good question. So there's two scopes of work. One is for anything that's runway program related. Mm-hmm. Mead and Hunt is the engineer for that. Garber is selected for everything that is not directly associated with that runway. So, for example, we're doing a runway 422 project this year. We handle that from an engineering standpoint. There's landside parking improvements. We handle that as well. But Mead and Hunt does everything related to all the earthwork and pavement design that you see.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. I know you're probably drinking out of a fire hose a little bit mm-hmm. on this. I'm also happy to talk offline and talk details. And I know it's a lot. So,
yeah. Additional questions? This item? Anybody get into the weeds on this a little bit when you read through what was presented? Because there was something kind of interesting to me, and maybe you can help us out. This is a 2-mile strip of engineering design, right?
Yes.
Are we just using, is it 11 core samples for that profile?
No, the 16 additional geotech samples that we're doing are in areas of cut that were not available to us when we did the original site geotech.
Okay.
So we have over 200 geotech samples that have been taken over the duration of the project.
Okay.
But with us cutting 30 to 40 feet out of this hillside, we would like to get down and do some direct sampling now that lower site is exposed. We do have some 60-foot samples, but this is just an opportunity really more for test pits. Mm-hmm. We are doing sampling where we're doing the test pits, but the pits themselves are actually what we're expecting to get the most information from. So it's supplemental to that initial study.
Now, thank you for that, because I kind of read a little bit differently. I thought, boy, that's not enough, you know, to know.
No, of course not.
Because there's so many different soil geographies that take place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So thanks for the clarification. And how far will this take us, this portion of the design work? Will be 90% done?
So we're calling it 95.
Okay.
It'll be designed to the point where we're ready to bid it, but we need to, the last five would be taking it and putting it into a bid package that's fit to the funding.
Okay.
So, you know, the FAA has kind of told us $5 million schedules, 15 to 20 million a year. We want to be available and flexible, but not have to start a big project up to get to that point. And so this will get us close to the finish line, so then there'll just be a small package that has to be prepared to break out give us the flexibility to fit into that funding scenario that they provide.
And I think that's a valid thing I want to clarify as well. So this package is to do that overall 95%, and it's for that first package. We will almost assuredly come back end of next year, or later this year, and depending on when the funding comes through, and say, we need a small package of scope to basically build that next package out, because there's lots of details about where those breaks happen and make sure we capture the right portion. So this isn't all the pavement design. It's most of the pavement design, but it will come, depending on the funding, other small packages.
And we did talk about this last meeting, too, quite lengthy.
I think
right?
So.
Okay, I just want to make sure that
I feel like we talked about it more than everybody. I bet you are all tired of talking.
We just had your pretty graphic in front of us last time with all the color
coding.
Sorry,
yeah, falling down on
just seemed to make sure. Okay, I'm like, this is not a new conversation. It's still, okay.
So give us, I know you've done this before, but just refresh our memories on your work product, completion timing, and then submission to the FAA to try and go after funding for it.
So that's kind of a team discussion. I'll start off with the kind of what the work product and timing is, and then I think that leads into what we think next year's funding schedule will be. So we're starting on this now because there are several key decisions that need to be made this summer around our approach to the pavement design, updating the fleet mix. As we've seen, there's quite a few changes in the industry, and we need to address those. We're hoping that we can try to exercise a little bit of update with bigger aircraft and more efficient fleets and get a more justification for a little bit better pavement design to fit what's really happening today versus in 2017 when we started. Additionally, we're looking closely at which connectors we build. You know, what operationally is going to fit the landing legs and the aircraft that we're using. Additionally, what gives the airport the most flexibility for diversion discussions when you have large stacks of aircraft maybe here in PACT and you need to be flexible on releasing. So we're going to look operationally at how that runway is going to work based on changes in the industry that we've seen since we started. Those are going to drive some changes to that original roadmap that we built and allow us to finish our design. These are typical design decisions at this point in a project. You know, we kind of solve the big project problem and we have everything in the scope, and now we need to refine it and do the engineering to make it efficient. So that's our process this spring and summer, and then we will move into production design probably in July, I think, with the FAA doing an initial review, I think, of our 65%. I think we have it at the end of July or early August, and then they're aiming for a 95% review. I think our schedule now says January based on today's date.
That's correct. So our intention here isn't to have an end of year package for this. We have more than enough. We have more than enough project in front of us in the event that there's more money at the end of this year. It's really to set the table to have a as big of a project as they can give us for next spring. That's what we've talked about with our FAA partners, and that's their expectation. From talking to them, they don't think that there's going to be a huge opportunity to capture a ton of end of year money this year. But they do think that, you know, we want to look ahead and try to capture it in future years. And honestly, that makes more sense with what's going on. I mean, these big work packages take time, and it's better anyway to kind of have that happen early 24. Anyway, I mean, it's better for the overall project. So that's what we're trying to do, is set the table.
Additional questions for Colin? Item B, meet and hunt task order. Appreciate all the documentation in the package. It's very thorough. Pretty detailed.
There's our picture.
And we have also along the same lines as Garber's scope of this. So, Colin, you want to share with what that looks like for
sure.
Us?
So this is the meet and hunt scope. This is action item B, and if you Who's driving the, is this you, Ben?
Mm-hmm.
We click one more. And then we have C as well, which is, yeah, that one. This is the Garber portion. So at a high level, I guess it's really a nutshell of what we've already discussed. There's a meet and hunt portion, and there's a Garber portion. The meet and hunt portion is Garver portion is not exactly 90% eligible because there's some scope items that are outside of what they normally fund. We've negotiated that with the FAA. The overall amount, if you combine those two, though, is almost 89%, so it's a very small fraction that ends up falling outside of that level of eligibility. I don't know what else to dive into on it. Honestly, I think it's similar scope items to, you know, it's the same delineation we've had on previous work. I'm also happy to answer any questions on that.
Any other questions on this portion of runway 1230 design work? I guess to call out of note, to your point, the GJAP, or our portion, is $53,788 of the $292,000. And on the other one, it's 10%, $148,741. So kind of combined numbers, a couple hundred thousand dollars for the airport, which is in our budget to do this. Yes. Okay, because we have covered both of these at the same time and they're both associated with the same project, I would entertain a motion, if the commissioner wishes to offer it that way, to approve items B and C, if you just read the main caption for that, if you feel comfortable doing that, for handling these two action items, or you can split them up depending upon your preference.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we approve action item B, meet and hunt task order number 10, fiscal year 2023 pavement design, as well as action item C, Garver task order number 10, fiscal year 2023 pavement design and runway replacement program coordination.
I'll second that.
Been moved and seconded for the approval of both items B and C. Further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. I appreciate that. Appreciate the detail on the package too. So it gave us a little, if you have a little engineering brain cell, you can kind of look through that. All right, activity report. Harrison, thank you for being online. You're still with us, and nice to see you here today.
Thank you, Mr. Sherman. Good morning, commissioners. Going to really cover three things today in the activity report. One's going to be our traditional air service development update. I wanted to touch on the 2022 full year stats. These were emailed around to you, and really just have an opportunity to discuss shortly and answer any questions. And then talk through a couple of the airport stats that are in your packet, and happy to dive into any of them as well. So starting this off with kind of the air service slides you've seen before, what we see in our TSA volumes, sorry, one back camera. Thank you. We've got our volumes and load factors declining a little bit in the last 30 days, and really that's because we're starting to see capacity pick back up again. So we're kind of in the weakest part of the year for us, which is that you know, February-ish time frame. We expect this to get a lot stronger as we're moving into spring break. We're seeing success on these markets still. It's just kind of that little seasonal lull that we often see. And as we look forward on the next slide, what we see is that investment that we've seen and we've been talking about for Q1 and Q2 looks really strong in April. Our two big carriers, American and United, both are up about 30% in their seats versus where they were pre-pandemic levels. Allegiant is more or less flat, but they've brought back in the Phoenix Mesa service. And certainly on the legacy carrier side, they're making these investments in Grand Junction, even though they're not making them elsewhere across their network. We're an outlier in a very good way for them to see this kind of, I guess, aggressive investment from them into the market. And what that investment looks like when we kind of look at our capacity highlights is we see United at 5 daily Denver flights. This is what we expect them to have through the rest of the calendar year. Things will vary a little bit. Right now we're on the 737-800 with our mainline. They'll go back down to the A319, a little bit smaller this summer, but still maintain 5. And we'll see different regional jets come in May and June than we've historically seen. United just switched over to flying with Mesa. They had been with American. You've probably flown them on American before. You'll see them with different paint now coming in here, going to Denver instead of Dallas and Phoenix. For American, we're seeing consistent 3 flights a day through May. In the summer, Phoenix goes down to 2. This is not surprising. We've had this conversation with American before. It really is the fact that no one in a hot place wants to go to a different hot place in the summer. And so kind of that natural demand we see is a little bit less. Therefore, the capacity comes down. This is nothing to do with systemic strength of the market or kind of the long-term potential we see. And then finally, Allegiant. Right now, we've got the Phoenix Mesa service flying. That goes away mid-May, as is their normal season, and LA comes back for a pretty normal season as well this summer. Any questions on where we sit kind of from a capacity standpoint, or I guess some of these highlights of what our outlook looks like right now?
Questions for Harrison? Harrison, do you see much movement in additional restoration of routes as airlines hire back more pilots that might benefit us in the not too distant future?
Yeah, so I will, I'm right now in Chicago at the Route of America conference, which is one of our air service development conferences. Angela was with me last year at the one in San Antonio. And what we're hearing from airlines just in the meetings we've had with them today is they're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel in terms of both bringing aircraft and bringing pilots in. They're not quite there yet. And certainly they haven't restored all the capacity, but it's getting close, and they're starting to think about it and talk about it. We're still probably 6 to 9 months away from most of them. That doesn't mean there's not opportunities today, but the big opportunities, kind of the big changes, are probably 2024 for most of the industry right now.
Okay, appreciate your insights on that. Additional questions for Harrison on the activity report?
Could you go back a slide, please, to the bar graph one? So I'm just trying to understand this. So the negative 6% for American shows that across the country they're down 6%, but we were up 29% for American. Is that how I interpret that? Year to year?
Exactly. So this is domestic scheduled seats for April versus April 2019. And so we're looking at, you know, that system-wide number gives us a great sense of kind of their overall network. Obviously, we're more concerned with, you know, locally how they're doing here, which is the bars.
Okay, thank you very much.
Pretty healthy.
Include the other airlines.
Yes.
Give the context of kind of what's going on outside of just the carriers we see.
Certainly nice to have the larger aircraft serving our area, and the number of flights, having 5 flights out of here, gives passengers some flexibility in their schedules.
The 5 flights, I think, is really key to keep the strikes and you know, long-term, we'd really love that to be 6 or 7. United knows that. At the moment, they're not operating enough banks for that really to be a kind of feasible discussion for us to get there. But having the main line, having the 737 right now and the Airbus over the summer, brings a ton of extra seats into the market that lets us really leverage those 5 and enter the hub well.
Anything else for us today, Harrison?
Yeah, so Cameron, can you skip, I think, 2 slides ahead then? This was emailed out to you, so I'm really not going to spend much time on it unless there are questions, but really wanted to hit on the full year 2022 enplanements. Since this was a topic, I know this was in the news a little bit, where it was the first time we've seen Montrose exceed Grand Junction's enplanements. And when you look at this chart of all Colorado airports, you also see that of the big ones, we've had the biggest decline in the market. Durango looks pretty darn similar in performance. They also lost out, they also lost Frontier. And we had an exceptionally strong 2021. So obviously not great to be seeing us decline, certainly not great to see the, you know, behind Montrose. Although, you know, as we look at some of the other ways of viewing this, we still think we're in a really strong position and have a lot of potential where Montrose has probably, I think, seen the growth sooner and gotten a little bit of that out of the way first. So, Cameron, can you go to the next slide, please? One of the ways I like looking at this is just seeing what the trend in enplanements has been. And this is looking at the last trailing 12 months for each of these quarters. So we eliminate seasonality, otherwise this would just be, you know, up and down every ski season. And what you see is kind of that constant slower growth at Montrose, and they've really flatlined in the last year or so. And with the Delta exit of the market with Frontier, you know, we had a phenomenal 2021 and kind of slowed down in 2022. temporary, but still, you know, it is certainly the slowdown we're seeing there. Durango has a very similar slope, where the other airports really had a pretty darn flat 2022 after recovering from the pandemic, we haven't seen before. The other way I like looking at this is how we view this on a quarterly basis and really understand ski season. So this next slide has kind of a, one more slide that I forgot about. Before we get to what I was going to say, thank you, Kim. Looking at this, how it varies by quarter, we have really very strong performance in the ski season markets in Q1, and Grand Junction is right up there as the third or fourth busiest behind Colorado Springs the rest of the year. You notice something like Hayden doesn't even make the list outside of Q1, outside of ski season. They just pack everybody in early in the year. Montrose certainly falls off as well a little bit later in the year. So I think a different way of thinking about the fact, you know, our volume is pretty consistent year-round. We don't vary all that much, but because we're relatively weak in ski season, just because we don't grow up the way the other ones do, we do see kind of our relative ranking decline out of that. And the slide I skipped was looking at our load factors, which continue to be stronger than any other airport in the region. We continue to have fuller flights, and we continue to have more full flights year-round, which is, I think, a promising sign going forward, and one that really points to the fact that we haven't met all of the demand out there. We're spilling some of that demand since we don't have empty seats like the other airports do. So I know this was sent out to you. I know, Mr. Chairman, you and I had a little back and forth on some of it, but really just wanted to bring this up and see if anyone else had any other questions that would be worth discussing right now.
Can you define that acronym you just used, Harrison? MDCs? You said we don't have other MDCs. Go ahead.
Was it MDC?
That's what I thought he said.
Or MDC.
MDC. Thank you. I was like, what is that acronym? MDCs. Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Chairman.
No, we love our acronym, but I'm not trying to make new ones.
Yeah,
I'm gracious. I'll turn up the volume just a little bit here so everybody can hear it. Apologize for that, Lindy. And Harrison and I did have a little bit of dialogue. I wanted to delve into the numbers a little bit more. Surprising coming from me. And we looked at the number of visitors that were going to the two airports and the growth in visitors, because my thought was that Telluride at the ski resort has raised its awareness and more people have kind of gone in to that world, and that was the majority of Montrose's growth. And I think that's kind of plays out in this next slide here. So.
That's a good call. Yep.
So. And I think, you know, when you think about people traveling post-COVID, they're taking families for recreational opportunities, and our neighbor caters well to that. So.
They do a very good job of that, obviously with access to Telluride, particularly in that first quarter. You know, the point we've been making to airlines, of course, is the fact that we're, you know, a year-round destination. We have a lot of that same attraction. We also have more attraction the rest of the year, plus the fact that Grand Junction is a real city, a big city, and a growing city with significant business traffic. And so you're not reliant just on that leisure, that it is a different opportunity. And one that arguably can be more profitable year-round.
Harrison, are prices of flights impacting that?
We've seen prices spike dramatically. Q2 was the high watermark for 2022. They came down a little bit, and we haven't gotten year-end data yet. But absolutely, what we're hearing from airlines is that their first quarter revenue is down a little bit because passengers have gotten kind of spooked by some of those high fares. It's not enough that they're booked well yet, but they're changing their booking. And, 2022, I think there was that firm of revenge travel where people were just traveling kind of regardless of the price just to get back to it. And I think we're not seeing that as much in 2023 because the price has spiked so high.
A little bit along those lines. We don't discuss the subsidies in the other ski areas or from the ski areas very much. Is that public information as to what's being spent?
It doesn't tend to be public. They don't tend to be public entities that are putting the money behind it. For sure, there is a significant subsidy being paid both in the Steamboat Springs Hayden market and in the Montrose Telluride market, driven by the ski resorts. But it's a little hard to tease out exactly what some of those numbers are.
Is the Eagle one no longer in place?
They've been, let's say, less aggressive recently. They do have, like we do, a significant fund out there. They have applied for and received small community air service grants, just like we have. So they have money out there. I have not heard about it being deployed quite as recently or aggressively as the other two.
Thank you.
Aspen has probably been the least aggressive in that, and they haven't needed to the same way the other ones have.
Yeah.
Good questions. Anything else for Harrison today? Thanks, Harrison. Appreciate the data and the graphs that are here. Keep everybody informed.
The last thing, Mr. Chairman, you have all of your traditional airport stats in the packet. I have a handful of those on the slides here. If you have any questions or would like to, this is my first time presenting them, so I don't know if you normally would like to go through them slide by slide, or just if there are questions, I'm happy to. Otherwise, we can let Travis take over on finance update.
Why don't we just briefly go through the slides? I think Nathan's here, and I'm not sure he's seen some of these, so might just for informational purposes on what we track.
I'll do this pretty quickly, and I'm really going to focus just on the airline ones here. So our enplanements, our passengers boarding airplanes in Grand Junction, we were up 13% year over year. That's really driven by both American and United, and that's those mainline aircraft on United that are really driving a pretty significant increase in our capacity. Our deplanements, the opposite, those getting off the airplane, up 27%. I'll admit this kind of caught me off guard here because we actually have more deplanements than we have scheduled seats, and that's because all those diversions that we get in, they all count as deplanements as the folks are getting off the airplane here, whether they intended to or not. And so that's certainly driving a large portion of that United number and that American number on the deplanement side. We have, what's our next one? Our scheduled capacity, we're up 2.5%. We'll see this go up substantially more here as we go into February and March. You saw your April stat with both of our mainline carriers up 30%. So you're going to see more, this is going to increase faster as we go throughout the year. Combine the two of those together, our inflamements and our scheduled capacity, and you really get our load factors or how full the planes are. We continue to be pretty strong across the board at 80%. We're really looking for, call it low 80s on the airlines. January, February, December tend to be our weakest months, so this still looks really strong. I'm impressed personally by United at 86%, even with the mainline aircraft in here. That just means they have very few empty seats, and they're really, the market has responded well to that much extra capacity on them. Those are the stats I have. I know there's some other packet on parking and concessions as well. I'm happy to answer questions, but really want to focus on the airline ones, since that's obviously my expertise.
Great, Harrison. Anything else for Harrison today? Okay. As you all know, I'm kind of excited when deplanements exceed inplanements because that's the leading indicator for population growth in Mason County. Mm-hmm. So, food for thought.
Sure,
I'm going to run with that.
Well, that's good to know.
All right, Travis, you're up next.
All right, thank you, sir. So, let's start with just individual payments over $100,000. We had two of them to Kelly Trucking. Both of these were for the AIP project. So nothing out of the ordinary here. Let's go into February revenue. Every board meeting we present like the last revenue picture the revenue picture for the last month. We don't have all the numbers yet, so we present the rest of the figures for 2 months prior. But February revenue looks very good. When we compare it to our budget, we're about $80,000 ahead in total in operating revenue from where we budgeted, and that's even including an issue that we've identified with CDOT in remittance of fuel tax, and we identified that administratively they left us off the list for distribution, so we're looking at them
cars, which we saw in January, and also in February, it's kind of indicative of that dip, but nothing significant right now. The parking and restaurant operations are really contributing heavily to that that excess in operational revenues for February, and that's been a trend for January and February both. So both those revenue streams are doing very well.
This is a lot of probably work that doesn't need to be done, but do we have any idea the increases in our fees on the parking, what percentage that's contributed versus a bunch more cars sitting out there?
Right, so we actually looked at that as far as quantity versus price. A lot of it is driven by price. Our quantities stayed relatively the same, but we, you know, we're kind of running up against our capacity,
yeah,
quite frankly. So we sell a full lot, and most of this is driven by the change in price and pricing structure that we had in November.
That's what I would have kind of guessed, but yeah, good enough.
Those CDOT reimbursements, are those monthly reimbursements or the fuel?
We get two of them per month. We get a large one, we get a smaller one, and this is really, the source of it is for our fuel tax. When I took over and the point of contact changed for our entity, it messed up their AEP system. So that's
okay.
That's what it was. So we're working through them. They're going to reimburse us everything.
Just today. One cycle.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll have a good March.
We'll have a huge March. Yeah.
or April if it doesn't get any time.
Yeah. So that's February. Any other questions on February revenues?
Just want to comment that I love what you present here. It gives everything I need with the percent variance and that dollar variance, a little bit of narrative, the colors to show me what's
great
and what's bad. So this is a nice one view of the finances.
Great. I'm glad it adds value.
Yeah.
We'll continue doing that. So let's talk about the statement of financial position or the balance sheet. This is talking about February numbers, end of February. And we compare it to year-end December 22 numbers. The main takeaway is our cash position really stayed very consistent in January. We didn't dip much. In fact, we added $15,000 to our cash, but materially speaking, it stayed the same. We did increase our current assets, and that was primarily driven by accounts receivable. Every time we incur an expense in the AIP projects, that becomes a receivable to us that we bill the FAA for, and then they return those funds to us. So we'll see an increase in our accounts payable for capital, which we see here in the current liabilities, and we see an increase in our capital accounts receivable, and those are really combined. You know, we have money go out and have it come back in for grant drawdowns. Other than that, you know, we paid some bills in operations. We decreased our total accounts payable. We had a little bit of a decline in our current ratio, which measures our cash position or our ability to pay all of our current liabilities with our current assets. But nothing I'm concerned with at all. We have a very, very healthy position with current assets when we compare to current liabilities. So super strong there. Any question regarding the balance sheet? Yes, sir.
Do our bylaws stipulate a certain minimum reserve, or how does that work?
So we have some bond requirements that we have to maintain as far as our current ratio. I believe it's 1.2. or 1.25. I'll have to double check.
Percent?
It's the ratio between our current liabilities and current assets.
Yeah.
But yeah, we massively exceed that. So yeah, I can look into that.
Thank you.
Get back on it. Any other questions?
Travis, this is January 31st information, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So this is January operating revenue, operating expense. Again, in January, we are exceeding our operating income for the first, first month of the year. It's great. We budgeted to have a non-operating income gain of $10,000. We have $175,000 that actually came in. Some of that's driven by cost savings. We have some unfilled vacant positions that we budgeted for. So when we compare what we budget to what we've actually incurred, we get some cost savings there. As soon as we fill those vacant positions, that cost savings month to month will decrease. But we also have some repairs and maintenance that we didn't incur the first month, but we anticipate going forward that stuff's going to break, we're going to have to fix it. So that's going to be variable, even though we budget pretty uniformly throughout the year for those expenses, which isn't always the case. But in our operating revenues, again, same story as I presented in February, happened in January as well. Parking and restaurant revenue was definitely in excess of what we budgeted due to their operations and the fee structure for parking. Fuel flowage and fuel tax revenue also were contributors to that operating revenue budget variance that contributed to that overall budget variance. So everything looks very strong from our position here, which I'm always happy to present good news. On a side note, it's not on the slide, but as I'm monitoring the earnings from our Color Trust investments, we are doing very well. We're still right around 4% on the yield rate, and they're doing very well. So I think it's a very, very positive move and provides us a little extra working capital.
Travis, appreciate the summary on this, as well as the footnotes for both the revenue side and the balance sheet. So it helps commissioners identify those areas for changes. Year over year, and also the budget.
Great.
Anything else for Travis? Okay, thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
Oh, you're back up again.
Okay. So, in our last meeting, you asked for two changes to this matrix that you've seen for the last 6 or 8 months straight. So, two things. We've added construction amounts for the awarded item, and then we've also added in blue board action items to highlight those. So adding that construction amount, I think, was really good because it shows us that we actually plan on this summer having $30 million of construction on the airport going on. So it kind of shines a light on just how busy it is. It's one thing for me to tell you how busy it is every month, but putting dollars to it really makes it stand out. So what I'd like to do is just run through quickly the runway program and then the landside projects. So the top two rows, schedules 1 through 3 and schedule 4, those are underway. That's what all that big equipment's doing out there. Around $21 million of earthwork and drainage improvements scheduled to end in early 2024. They stay on schedule. The next two items, the third and fourth row, are two packages that we plan to award. We're going to bid and award this year. We're working with the FAA on specific timing. I'm showing those as bidding those in April and June. That's tentative. We're negotiating that timing with the FAA. And I showed tentative items in May and June for grant award and construction contract. Again, that's tentative based on when those grants come, but that's a placeholder. It shouldn't be any earlier than that. There's a chance it will be later based on the latest communication. And then finally, fifth row is the pavement design. That's the scope that was approved today. In March, you'll notice that the grant awarded for design, that first column, is actually later than the design contract. We anticipate to catch that grant this summer to be able to reimburse that. And then dates are unknown on bidding and contract execution. We'll post that as soon as we know more from coordination. The bottom part is the work that's going on in the parking lot and the runway 422 work. That's under one contract for both of those items. We anticipate that work to begin in the June timeframe. So it will be done well before the air show. That's what I've been asked over and over again. So we're on track to have that done well before the air show. So that's the major item there. And then finally, Charlie 1 Alpha. This was the scope that we received bids on. Those bids were higher than we anticipated, and we decided not to award. We were planning to go back out with a separate package for that work in the March, April timeframe, and then we'll go through that process and hopefully bring back better news. Any questions on any of that? I know that's a lot of info.
Did you expand the scope of the Charlie 1 Alpha to get a more advantageous?
No, but what we did do is, so we only received two bids for the runway and parking work. And I think, I mean, if you look at the pricing that we got for that Charlie 1 Alpha work, it just wasn't competitive.
Yeah.
And it's our hope that by piecing it out, it will attract smaller contractors that are more suited to that kind of work, which wasn't our thought. I mean, I'll admit, going in, we were hoping we would get an economy of scale, but that's not what happened. So we're going to break it out separately and try that avenue. And we'll reach out to, there's some local smaller contractors that I think are a better fit. So that's what we're going to try to do, is engage them directly.
Additional questions for Colin? Just one slide today.
Just one slide.
Wow. We're ahead of schedule just a little bit. Ben, kind of what's going on in your world? Looks like our parts for the escalator are coming in pretty soon.
I talked to some corrupt today.
Okay.
Said, hey, I know you just gave me an indication that the handrail was in transit. I'd like to look at those. Are curious to know when we might see some action and get this repaired. So, April 2nd and April 3rd is the dates they're shooting for. And then they're going to try to pair that up with the annual indexing testing they have to do per state. So I'm trying to get two birds, one stone. But yeah, it's been down for quite a while. And so the handrail is actually in the Eagle office. And now it's just getting the schedule for early April install.
Kind of another example of shortages or the condensation. Condensed number of people that manufacture that, there's not that many opportunities anymore, so that causes delay and replacement for folks like us. So, thanks for Bird Dog. Anything else in your world?
Anything else? That we're just getting ready for the typical springtime startup of the thing. So, Browns guys are out doing all the pruning and treating the pre-emergent pesticides for weeds. Buildings guys are doing some work in the upper hold room, just trying to give it that modernized feel. We started throughout the building in 2019, 2020, with ceiling tiles, light fixtures. Staying plenty busy.
Yeah, nice job on the foyer out here and converting that. It's like that process has gone.
Our guys have really well. Yeah. Now we just need to figure out what we're going to put up front there is a piece of art in that plunger. Kind of lean towards art versus putting shrubs and bushes in it. So.
Dylan, anything in your world? You had some diversions here not too long ago.
Put you on the spot.
Oh, I'm sorry, you had a bunch of diversions here for a while.
Yeah, we had a pretty, run-of-the-mill winter, more diversions. I know what Harrison had suggested is maybe a little bit above average. So whether it's visibility or wind or weather itself, usually Aspen is the primary airport for our diversions, but we've had some others from Hayden, Durango one day, and a few others. So, but yeah, we're ramping up. The triennial will be May 2nd, rolling along with that with mutual aid. So that's kind of the lowest hanging fruit right now for that. So planning for that, just the normal day-to-day stuff. So.
Congrats on filling Chance's position, I understand.
Yep, great. Thank you. So, yeah, Jake Steele from our ops and art team is going to be taking on that role. That position was basically realigned with operations, so it'll be a natural fit there. So that does leave us another vacancy in operations that we look to fill immediately, and then we'll be fully staffed up on that side of the house. So.
Good job.
Thank you.
All right. to our group here.
Check with Dan.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I was going to move on to that. Dan, I think we'd like to hear a little bit about what's going on in your world, and I know you have a couple things to report on.
Terrific, thank you. I usually can't compete with Colin or Ben or anyone there, but I have some good news and something that I think is pretty important for the history of the Airport Authority. And that is that on Friday, the Colorado Legislature approved House Bill 23-1156, which is a bill to modernize and update the Colorado Public Airport Authority Act. And that is the statute, the 1963 law, that allows cities and counties to stand up airport authorities. The Grand Junction Regional Airport Authority is a creature of that state statute. We are given our powers from that statute, in addition to the powers that we enjoy as the owner and proprietor of the airport. And it is a bit long in the tooth. And I think this board and its predecessor boards have recognized that it constrains our abilities in certain ways and just simply has not been updated to keep up with the times. And so your former colleague, now Representative Rick Taggart, as part of his ascension to the Colorado House of Representatives, took it on as one of his first legislative priorities to update the Colorado Public Airport Authority Act. So the four public airport authorities in Colorado got together. We submitted comments. Those comments were turned into legislative language. That language went through the House. It passed the House unanimously as the bill HB 23-1156. It moved on to the Senate. We were present for the committee hearings, the Transportation Committee hearings in both the House and the Senate. It then went up in the House and in the Senate. And the Senate on Friday, the 17th, approved at their, I think what amounts to their third reading, approved the bill, which is now on its way to the governor's desk for signature. And the way that legislation of this kind works in Colorado is that it essentially will become effective in the fall. We made very clear at the time that we were not trying to expand the powers of public airport authorities in Colorado. We were not trying to change the balance of power between airport authorities and cities and counties. We were just simply trying to take a bill, a law that is nearing the mandatory retirement age and bring it up to modern times. And so on the main, this will not change how we do business, except in a couple of important ways. When we think about what goes in front of you for approval, there has been a very low dollar threshold for contracts and expenditures that are required to be considered by the board. It is the reason why, you know, I'm exaggerating, obviously, but why boxes of paper clips or, you know, moderately expensive but not terribly expensive items come to the board for review and approval is because of that that statutory requirement. And so that number has been raised to $250,000. That is the cap by the state statute. You can conduct yourselves as you will. We can change the procurement policy, the delegations of authority as we think appropriate, but at least you have that additional headroom under the statute to work with. And then the second piece is that the existing state statute, the pre-existing state statute, is pretty limited in terms of essentially saying that most things need to be competitively procured, which makes it difficult and has been something that we have had to work around and work with for the last many years. And so the modernization of the statute says clearly that capital work, construction projects, things like that, as well as the purchase of new vehicles, need to be competitively solicited, but the remainder of the procurement is essentially up to the board. So there again, I think it will be worth us revisiting the procurement code with the additional flexibility that we have, but whether or not we want to make any changes, whether or not you want to make any changes, obviously, is up to the board. So So on the main, the statute won't change the way that we do business. It does clarify some things that have been a little bit confusing in the past, which is good. And it provides you with a little bit more flexibility to run the airport as a business and as a public entity, and do so, you know, to maximize the efficiency and the effectiveness and respect for the board side and the professional staff that you have. So all in all, I think a really good, really important accomplishment. I'm sure there will be hiccups. I'm sure we didn't get it perfectly right. I'm sure the legislative drafter didn't get everything perfectly right, and there will be some things to work through. But a really significant milestone, I think, in the history of public airport authorities in Colorado. Let me just stop there and see whether or not there are questions.
Questions for Dan on that? I'd really appreciate the fact, you know, we had a little awkwardness there at 60% of our quorum, required a quorum, which was 4.2, I guess. At any rate, you had to round up to get five. This way it makes it to where four of us come at 50% constitutes quorum. So that, thanks for being part of that, Dan. As far as the process goes, editing that piece of legislation. Some of the rest of you might have been keeping track of that with the group as well. I was curious a little bit about the inflationary index identified three counties in Denver. Was that a standard for airport authorities to reference the CPI for those three counties, or how did we come up with that?
The reference to inflation is just to increase the cap when items need to come to you. So it is intended to adjust for inflation, and that's the measure that the legislative drafter used. So the bigger point is just that we've been stuck with an old number because it's so hard to get the legislature to revisit. So rather than relying upon the legislature to revisit that number will move up with inflation using the metric that the drafter picked. My experience with them is that everything was sort of standardized, and so it must be a uniform metric.
Yeah, it just seemed odd that we couldn't track like the state of Colorado's inflationary index rather than three counties on the front range. It just seemed a little weird, but I'm sure they must publish that somewhere and we can keep track of it. I don't know where it is, but go from there. I think it's good work overall. So,
that's great.
Tell us a little bit.
Yeah, and here, sorry.
Go ahead, Dan.
Well, I was just going to add, I mean, to your point about the quorum, there are a bunch of things. I mean, there are a bunch of changes that are in the document. There are changes that, you know, we don't have our own transparency requirements. We are relying upon the Colorado Open Meeting and Open Records Statute. And so I'm not trying to minimize the things that are in there. There's a bunch of them, and if board members want to see the specific changes, you know, I'm happy to send it around. So I'm not trying to minimize them. There are a bunch of changes. I think they're all to the good, but I think on the main, it won't be a sea change in the way that you do business.
Okay. I imagine we'll need to get together and amend our bylaws, though, because of it.
Yeah, I think there'll be some trickle-down effect.
Yeah. In a good way.
Dan, anything else legislatively that affects us that we should be aware of that are going through and...
Sorry, Tom. Didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah,
I just wanted to say I visited with the board previously, and just a reminder that we are deep in the throes of FAA reauthorization. That's the reauthorization of the airport improvement program. The airport industry groups are very hard at work putting together their wish list. There have been multiple hearings already. Obviously, we are a kind of dark corner of the FAA. Safety, air traffic, aircraft certification, you know, there are a lot of big ticket items that are on the news every time there's an incident, or when the notice system went down a few months ago, you know, that tends to garner a lot of the attention. But the airport industry is really working hard to make sure that there's enough money, there's regulatory reform, there's support. We address things like of legacy PFAS contamination, the issues that we talked with you all about before, trying to make sure that those priorities make their way into the bill that ultimately moves its way through the House and Senate. And I would just add, you know, while you are not a small community, you know, a lot of the issues in smaller communities, there's a lot of support, a lot of the congressional leadership. So the future of the Essential Air Service Program and the Small Community Air Service Development Grant Program, a lot of those things are really on the line and at stake in the upcoming reauthorization.
Questions for Dan regarding that or anything else today? Thank you, Dan, for your participation today. Appreciate the insights on what's going on, and I look forward to getting additional information on the subject matters that you've talked about today as they come about. So, all right, anything else for the board? Any other business? Okay, I do have a couple of thank you letters here if you wish. One to thank Rick for his efforts on House Bill 23-1156. And also appreciation letter to Erling for his service on the board. So if you want to swing by and sign those, that's fine. With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.